We want to continue our series that we began a few weeks ago entitled Look What's Missing. We're turning today to John chapter 5, John's Gospel chapter 5. And in this portion of scripture there is a verse that is obviously in the King James Bible, but it is not in many of the modern Bibles. It has been removed. And we're going to keep you in suspense for a wee while, for a few minutes, and we'll reveal it all later, which verse it is that is deleted, as it were, from the modern Bibles. John chapter 5, it's page 1069. John chapter 5, verse 1, and let us all hear the word of the Lord. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk. That word impotent, it just means ill. So that's simply all it means. And there the verse goes on to describe who these impotent people are, who these sick people are. It says there were some that were blind, halt, withered. And the word halt there means lame. Waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And don't have in your head there this poor critter trying to carry a four-poster bed on his back. The word bed there refers to like a mat. You know, if you ever go camping, and you've got the wee mat that you just roll up, you sleep on it at night, and mind you, suppose you'd say it's like sleeping on a bed of nails. It's not very comfortable, but at least you can sort of roll it up and just take it with you in the morning. And so the man here, he's told to rise, take up thy bed and walk. So let's see what happened. Verse 9. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Oh, how miserable they were. A great miracle had taken place, and rather than rejoicing in the healing of this poor individual, they were nitpicking at rules to do with the Sabbath day, just legalism. Folks, I hope none of you are bound by legalism today, trying to keep all the rules and the regulations. I've news for you, you'll never do it. But apart from that, it's just a miserable existence. And legalism is an awful thing, and Jesus came to deliver us from legalism and religion. He came to bring us redemption. Away with religion. It's absolutely useless. So verse 11, he answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not or knew not who it was. For Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Isn't it amazing that the Lord Jesus quietly slips away? If this had been some charismatic faith healer, he would have been, you know, drawing attention to himself and saying, "Ha! It was me that healed this man. Come, and for a small fee, I'll agree to pray for you and you'll be healed." See, and that's the way it is today with these great charismatic faith healers that have their big faith, their big healing crusades, and they love the attention. How different they are to Christ, our precious Saviour. He slips away, he conveyed himself away. Isn't he wonderful? Verse 14, "Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day." Let's put you out of your misery. The verse that you won't find in many of the modern versions is verse 4. John 5, verse 4. "For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had." That verse is missing from 27 of the modern versions, including the Amplified Bible, the American Standard Version, the Common English Version, the English Standard Version, the Good News Bible, the International Children's Bible, the Message, the New International Version, the Revised Standard Version. Need I go on? There are a lot of people who frown upon this verse and they say, "This couldn't have happened. This is just by and by pie in the sky." The problem is that those people want to remove all the miracles from the Bible. That's really what's behind it. There are a lot of people today, and they claim to be Christian, but they do not believe in, and they're unwilling to believe in, the miraculous. And they want to tear all the miraculous passages, as it were, out of the Bible. Not literally tear the pages out, but just remove all the miracles from the Bible. Well, we don't want any of the miracles to be removed from the Bible simply because they're true. And I believe that this really happened. I believe that God, in his grace and mercy, sent this angel down to this pool of Bethesda. And the result was that someone was healed. God is good. God is kind. He cares for us in our sicknesses. Never listen to the devil when he tells you that God doesn't care for you or your family. God doesn't care whenever you or your loved ones are ill. He does care. He cares far more than you could ever realize. I suppose part of the problem is that people don't believe in angels. And that's one of the reasons why people sort of find it difficult to believe that this verse could be in the Bible. Well, the Bible has a lot to say about angels. I know, folks, there's a lot of nonsense believed about angels. I mean, people say, "Oh, I've got a guardian angel. My guardian angel was watching over me." The Bible teaches that only born-again believers have a guardian angel. So there's a lot of rubbish believed and foolish talk today about, you know, everybody on the earth has a guardian angel. It's simply not true. But we can't kind of say, "Oh, well, there's superstitious stuff believed about angels, so let's just throw the baby out with the bathwater." No, the Bible teaches that angels exist. And angels are the servants of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is the King of angels. Remember that. And in John chapter 5, yes, we've got an angel, but we've got the King of angels. And never ever put the angels on the same level as the King of angels. We've sung today that beautiful hymn, "Angels Help Us to Adore Him. Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven." Beautiful words. But the angels, they are intensely interested in man's salvation. The tragedy is that the angels are far more interested in salvation than the most of the people on planet Earth today. Sinners who need salvation. People who need to be saved. And so I believe that this verse should be in Scripture. And I believe that this really happened. As I've already said, I don't know how often it happened. Whether it was every time there was a feast in Jerusalem. And remember, there were three main feasts in the Jewish year. I don't know whether it perhaps happened annually. But regardless of the frequency of it, I believe that it did take place. And therefore, I believe that John chapter 5, verse 4 has wrongly been removed by modern Bible translators. Well, let's come to the passage itself. What can we learn from it? May the Holy Spirit teach us wonderful things from it today and point us to Christ. First of all, you've got a miserable place. We have a very miserable place in John chapter 5. Notice verse 2. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. Notice verse 3. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. What a miserable place. What a heartbreaking scene this is. Folks, this is a picture of humanity. This is a picture of mankind. Mr. Trudeau, who's the Canadian Prime Minister, he wants us not to say, he doesn't want us to say mankind. Oh, you're not, we prefer not to say mankind today. We prefer to say people kind, gender neutral. I mean, I feel sorry for the people of Canada having such a shocking, godless Prime Minister. I mean, he's the worst I've come across. But this is, he talks about people kind. Oh, make sure you don't say mankind. Well, we're not really bothered what Mr. Trudeau wants us to say. This is a picture of mankind in its miserable condition, people without Christ. I want you to notice the invalid here, because he's the main character in the story. The invalid, and we read about him there in verse 5, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And verse 7 tells us his plight. This poor man was too slow. Every time the angel came down to trouble the water, this man was never quick enough into the water to be healed. There was always somebody who got in before him. He was just too slow and he missed his opportunity. Folks, that reminds me of so many people who miss their opportunity to be saved. There are people who hear the gospel, they're like this man, they are right beside the healing, right beside the waters, the healing waters of salvation, but yet they never get into them, and they never have their sins washed away, and they're not saved. Now, how long was this man at the pool of Bethesda? 38 days? Nope. 38 weeks? 38 months? No. 38 years. That's a long, long time to be so close, and yet he's still not cured. Oh, that reminds me. I have a picture in my mind of people who come to God's house. They go to missions. They receive gospel tracts. They watch television, satellite television programs, men preaching on the TV, listen to radio, gospel programs on the radio, on the internet, sermon audio. They're so close, but they're still not saved. And it's a tragedy. This poor man, he's trying to shuffle his broken body to into the pool before someone else. But for 38 years, he has been unable to do it. He needs Jesus. He is absolutely helpless. Folks, the message of the gospel starts with sinners who are helpless. God forbid that I should ever stand up here and say to you, "Oh, well, you're not too bad. Just try a bit harder and you'll be a Christian." If I ever say that, you give me my P45, please. I'm here to tell you that you're absolutely helpless. You will never be saved unless the Lord Jesus has mercy on you, unless Jesus does it all, because you're helpless. This man in his miserable condition, in this miserable place, he's a picture of the nation of Israel. We'll not read it now, but you can read it when you go home. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 14 tells us about how Israel wandered in the wilderness after they came out of Egypt. Guess how many years it was? 38 years. Is it a coincidence that the man has been at the pool for 38 years? I don't think so. The Lord Jesus loved the Jews. The Bible says he was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, sent to the Gentiles too, but first of all to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And they were wandering, and he saw the scribes and the Pharisees who opposed him wandering about like lost sheep. They didn't even know they were lost. They thought they were fine. And there are people today who don't even know they're lost. They think they're fine. That was a good gospel message. I'm glad that he was there to hear it. I'm glad that she was there to hear it. No, actually, they're the person who needs to hear it. They're lost, but they don't even realize it. Israel was like that, lost and wandering. The Lord Jesus, his heart was broken for the people of Israel. He longed to save them. Of course, this man at the pool and the other people in the beside the pool, these folk remind us that religion is useless. Keeping the rules is useless. Legalism is useless. These people here are a picture of the Jews trusting in their Judaism. But we could, relate it to any religion you care to mention today. Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, Romanism. Did you hear about the moderator-elect of the Presbyterian Church of Ireland? He can't wait to meet the Pope when he comes to the Republic later this year. How sad is that? Does he not realize that what Pope Francis stands for is man-made religion that is leading souls to hell? Man-made religion that is absolutely useless. Of course, this Wednesday, there'll be a lot of people going to get a wee cross on their foreheads. Whew, I'm glad I got that done. Boy, that's another brownie point with the Lord. Absolutely useless. You'd be far better just going home and, as the man says, washing your face. Get rid of the ash on your forehead. Because it's as useful as they used to talk about where we come, as useful as a handbrake on a canoe. Not very useful. Folks, religion, keeping the rules, ticking all the boxes, is impossible. And these people at the Pool of Bethesda, they're like so many people today who are trying to do that, trying to save themselves. Can't be done. Miserable place. There's the mysterious case. Now, we've touched on this already. The mysterious case in verse 4. The angel coming down into the pool and troubling the water. I've already said that I believe that this really happened, but perhaps you're skeptical today and you're saying, well, prove it. Have you any reasons for believing that this angel really did come down to the pool of Bethesda. Well, I give you two reasons, and I'll leave it at that. Reason number one, why would the man wait for 38 years if nothing miraculous was happening? Because obviously he's able to move. Now, he can't move freely, but he's able to move. Why would he wait there, just stay there for 38 years if nothing supernatural was taking place, if the waters weren't being troubled, if there was no angel coming down to the pool? Why would he just lie there for 38 years? Second reason why I believe that this verse 4 is rightly included in the King James Bible and why I believe the angel really did come down. It's simply this. Verse 7 makes no sense without verse 4. Let me read to you verse 7. The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." Now, can you try to follow me? Let's just say that there's no verse 4 in the Bible. Then you come to verse 7. Automatically your response is, what's that all about? If verse 4 is deleted, verse 7 makes no sense at all. I just, out of curiosity, I read one of the modern versions this morning where verse 4 has been removed and verse 7 is still there. And I just scratched my head and said, that is absurd. So this is a mysterious case, but I believe that it's true. It really happened. And those are the two reasons I give you today. There are other reasons, I'm sure, that I haven't mentioned today, but we haven't time to go into them. The miserable place, the mysterious case. Let me finish today with the marvelous grace. The marvelous grace that we find in this chapter, in this portion of God's word. Because this marvelous grace, the Lord Jesus comes in verse 6. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Verse 8. Jesus saith unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. Oh, the marvelous grace of the Lord Jesus. I pray that those of you who need healing, physical healing, that the Lord Jesus will come by his marvelous grace to you and will bring healing to you. To some of your loved ones, perhaps you're not unwell yourself, but your loved ones, your relatives are unwell, and you just long that they would be back to full health again. I pray that you will, that your loved ones will experience the marvelous grace of the Lord Jesus. Folks, let's remember that physical healing is such a marvelous thing. It's such a wonderful thing. We should be so thankful for it. But I want to tell you today that there's something even more wonderful than physical healing. It's spiritual healing. And every Thursday night in our prayer meeting, we pray for those in the congregation who are ill. Why don't you come some Thursday night just to hear God's people pray, and you will realize how much they care for those who are ill in the congregation. But folks, on a Thursday night we pray primarily for those who are lost, those who need spiritual healing. Their souls are sick with sin. And this man at the pool is a picture of those who have sin-sick souls. Bear with me as we bring the message to a close. I want you to notice that only one person was healed out of that great multitude. You notice it? In verse 3, in these lay a great multitude. There's a lot of people in these porches at this pool in Jerusalem. A lot of people are there, but we find that it's only this invalid who is healed. One out of many. That reminds us of Matthew chapter 7, where it says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, And many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Make sure that you receive Christ. Make sure that you are the one to be saved. Most of the people in the world today won't be saved. I find that sad to say. It's tragic to have to say it from a pulpit, but the Word of God teaches it. Few there be that find it. Those who are saved, those who are washed in the blood, are in the minority. And most of the people are on the broad way that leads to destruction. My message to you good folks today is, make sure you're not in the majority who are on the way to everlasting destruction. You be the one who is healed. You be the one who is saved. You cry out to the Lord for his mercy. It's just like Noah's Ark. This multitude of people, they're just like Noah's Ark. And back in the book of Genesis, you remember what happened there. Noah preached for 120 years. How many people went into the ark? Well, 7 plus Noah, 8 people. How many people were on the earth at that time? Do you know, commentators estimate that there were millions? The population of the earth was millions? Yet only 8 were saved in the ark. Make sure you get into the ark before the door closes, before it's too late. Pass me not, O gentle Saviour. Hear my humble cry, while on others thou art calling. Do not pass me by. Trusting only in thy merit, would I seek thy face. Heal my wounded, broken spirit. Save me by thy grace.